is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Nigeria, Dateline London. The head of Nigeria's Electoral Commission said it will not postpone next month's presidential vote despite worries over widespread insecurity, including attacks on election officials. Mahmoud Yakubu, speaking at London's Chatham House think tank, said the Independent National Electoral Commission was well prepared to facilitate voting in Africa's most populous state despite challenges. The quote, "The commission is not contemplating, let alone planning, to postpone the 2023 general election. We are going ahead to conduct the election as scheduled." I welcome my colleague and friend, Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who's kept me well informed of this election in February of this year, because what we're looking at is the most significant election, democratic election in Africa this calendar year, and also a state that has good reason to believe it will become one of the biggest countries in the world in population. It certainly enjoys the riches of natural resources, but over these last years, if not decades, it's been ripped by violence, by influence peddling, by the general misbehavior of its leadership. And the question always is this more of the same, or is there a change in weather? Gregory, a very good evening to you. I was unaware that there were threats at this scale. How do you measure this representation by the head of the Electoral Commission that he's not planning on violence? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The INEC, the Nigerian Election Commission, is actually quite right in saying that there are no plans to cancel or postpone the election because, in fact, it's likely to be the most successful and stable election which Nigeria has contemplated over the past couple of decades. The country as a whole has faced rising insecurity as a result of the incredibly poor policies of the Muhammadu Buhari government, which is now time limited and won't be able to come back again, and the economy, which has declined dramatically. So the general security in the country is appalling at this stage. Basically, they're saying 133 million of the 200 plus million population were now multidimensionally poor, and life expectancy remains at a 53-year average. It's got a very young population. Only 36% of the population is exposed to the internet. So things are not really good in the country. Nonetheless, what we're seeing now is less dissent, less violence in the run-up to this election than we saw in the run-up to the last two elections. And that's largely because Muhammadu Buhari's supporters are no longer out there literally beating up and intimidating people and killing people. The reality is that this is likely to be a new form of election for Nigeria, and that's really positive because here we are, we've got Nigeria getting ready to become perhaps the third most populous nation in the world after India and mainland China by the middle of this century. And the question is whether this is going to be leading Nigeria to an economic and strategic takeoff, or whether it will just sink further into the morass. Right now, it looks as though we're going to have a stable election. It looks as though we're going to have a coherent approach to the arguments. The outgoing party, the All Progressives Congress, which is Buhari's party, is contesting the election and had assumed that it was going to win the election under Chief Tinubu, the former governor of Lagos State. But it looks now as though it's going to go to the former vice president, who was vice president in 1999 to 2007, Atiku Abubakar of the People's Democratic Party. He's been waging a very consistent national campaign, literally moving the politics away from regional sectoral politics into national politics. This has been really significant. The level of political debate this time has become profound. But now we see Tinubu from the All Progressives Congress is panicking. They're trying to say that Atiku needs to face criminal charges, which is a bit of a joke considering that the candidate Tinubu himself was indicted on drug running charges in the United States when he lived in the US. But anyway, the reality is that Atiku is moving forward. We're seeing Tinubu, the number two, back to the number two candidate. And then the regional parties under Peter Obi, the Labor Party, going strongly, but not likely to get a national consensus.
We have some rules about the Nigerian election that are distinct from what we follow in the U.S. For example, I read from your reporting, to be elected on the first round, a candidate must receive a majority of the vote and more than 25% of the vote in at least 24 of the 36 states. That sounds like a high bar, is an unlikely. So what does that mean for all of these candidates? How will it shake out?
Well, it is a high bar, but you need to get a national consensus. Otherwise, you get a fracturing of the country because it is so culturally and ethnically and linguistically, religiously diverse. So they've achieved this in the past, generally on the first round of voting. I think they'll do it again. This time it is a little more contentious because the two regional parties, Peter Obi's Labour Party in the southeast and one party in the northwest based around Kano with a candidate, Rabiu Kwankwaso, they're likely to take some of the votes. So it's going to be very interesting. They'll take votes away from the two big parties, the PDP and the All Progressives. So there's a possibility it'll go to a runoff election, but I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is that Atiku is so strong that he will get either number one or number two in the majority of the states, and that's going to be enough to push him across the line.
And we're looking at an election that is going to either introduce a new day to Nigeria or the same old business. However, Gregory, I follow the news as best I can out of London. There seems to be a decided lean towards Obi in Europe. Why is that? Why does Peter Obi win all the articles, all the glamour magazines, all of that?
Well, several reasons. One, he's young. Two, he is indeed dynamic and intelligent. And three, he really is an urban political figure. And the only people getting publicity in the international media and in the Nigerian social media are urban types like Peter Obi. And the European media love to go in where they can meet him, which they do in Nigeria, but he's representing a small regional area. He doesn't have any reach into the north. Secondly, because his whole approach is alien to most of the north, and also because the north is not plugged into social media. As I said, you know, only 36% of the population is exposed to the internet, let alone social media. So he's not reaching them. So he'll get a sizable chunk in some of the cities, but he won't get that national level of votes. Even if he got a majority of votes from the urban areas, it's going to be difficult for him to translate that into a broad spread across the entire country. So I think he's a real candidate. And I think in the future, what he will probably do is now start preparing the Labour Party for elections in 4 years' time, when he will have during which he'll have time to build up a truly national party apparatus. But he doesn't have that at this stage.
You report that urbanization is now a factor in Nigeria's policies. Urbanization is striking. It's gone from 44% to 52% in 2021. What does that mean for the population? Urbanization can mean a center city surrounded by slums. Is that what's happening?
Oh, there's certainly what's happening there and almost everywhere else. But what it is doing for Nigeria, as we've seen this progressive move toward urbanization over the past couple of decades, is that it reduces reproduction rate of people. So the families are getting smaller rather than larger. And this is slowing down the rate of overall population growth for the country. And that's also leading to that other factor of urbanization and smaller family size is an increase in family wealth. So that is having an impact on Nigeria, both from the educational standpoint, from the sophistication of the population and the like. But it's also creating that urban-rural divide, which we see profoundly impacting politics in Western Europe and North America and Australia and the like.
Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, watching Nigeria in these next weeks as it builds towards the most significant democratic election in all of Africa in this calendar year, perhaps in Global South. The choices are the status quo ante, which is influence peddling, and the future. We turn now to another matter where there is no democracy, but where there is promise or opportunity. This is in the near abroad of the Russian Federation. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.